These are definitely critical times for Myanmar. The country's made a lot of progress in recent years in terms of developing the economy, moving towards peace and reconciliation. But you only have to look at some of the big numbers, some of the most telling statistics that affect children, to realize that the country's still at a relatively early stage of its development. The fact, for example, that up to 150 children are dying each day before their fifth birthday, of causes which are essentially preventable. It's whether because they, in the first few weeks after birth, so it's maternal care and it's postnatal care, or because of infectious diseases, things like tuberculosis, pneumonia and diarrhea. So facts like that underline the distance that this country has to go. And the fact that, you know, these problems are concentrated in certain parts, the more remoter areas of the country, more prone to conflict as well.
Yeah, so we're seeing this UNICEF report, your child alert for Myanmar. You're saying that there has been rapid development and reconciliation efforts, and yet 30% of the population suffer from moderate to severe malnutrition. That's a very alarming statistic alone, the fact that 150 children under the age of five die each day. This is, if not a crisis, it's something that we should be reacting to very strongly.
Yes, definitely. And I think it's something which you don't notice initially. You go to Rangoon, which is a city which has changed immeasurably in the 20 years or so that I've been visiting there, where you see the obvious signs of development and wealth, skyscrapers and traffic jams and other so obvious symptoms of development. But then when you go out into the remoter areas up on the Chinese border, for example, or down in the southeast close to the border with Thailand, you enter really a very different world where communities are really struggling to survive. You've got tens of thousands of people who are reliant on handouts, people who've been displaced by fighting, ongoing conflict, which has never ended ever since the days when Burma, as it then was, became independent back in the 1940s. So conflict continues to affect so many children's lives and is one of the prime reasons why we see these sorts of statistics that you mention.
And as you say, in those rural areas, there are serious problems. We often hear a lot about Rakhine State, but in fact, you're saying, and that's where the ethnic Rohingyas are, of course, living in camps. You say there are 120,000 internally displaced people, but there are also far fewer details coming out of Kachin, Shan and Kayin states. Do you have access to those?
Up to a point we do. Certainly as far as our mission was concerned, we managed to get to some areas, particularly in Kachin, which are normally closed off to journalists and other visitors. And that was very striking. We visited, for example, drove through deserted villages which had been abandoned probably not too long ago because it's no longer safe to be there because fighting can flare up at any moment.
Is it still the case that children are being recruited to fight in this ongoing conflict around the country?
Unfortunately, it is still the case. It's very hard to quantify because this is a phenomenon which the parties involved don't advertise. However, we certainly have strong more than anecdotal evidence that it does continue in spite of a very concerted ongoing effort in which the United Nations and UNICEF in particular are closely involved. We have seen some progress in recent years, a joint plan of action that was signed in 2012. Since then, something like 800 children have been released from their role in one or other of the armed forces and reintegrated into civilian life. But there is still a long way to go. And that is an ongoing process. Eight parties to conflict around Myanmar are still listed by the UN Secretary General as perpetrators of this violation of children's rights.
But I suppose if there are positives, and you say the government is making steps to increase the reach of development, but you're saying there are still 2.2 million children affected by this violence. How do you think that the latest push for peace and the aim to bring, hopefully, as many of these armed groups as possible to the negotiating table is going to bring about some development and positive change for the people of Myanmar?
I think we would have to see a direct correlation between the progress towards peace and reconciliation and the wider feel and impact of the benefits of development. That is quite clear. But I think the point that we're trying to make in this report is that the signs of progress, the benefits of advances and economic growth are not being felt nearly widely enough. The government has certainly made good progress. It's certainly given very strong signals of its desire to find ways of reaching more children, to allowing them to benefit, to improved education systems, health benefits, putting more money into immunization programs, for example. This is all very welcome news, not to mention the child law, which is now being finalized, which goes a very long way to bringing Myanmar into the, if you like, the accepted level of international standards when it comes to implementing basic children's rights. So we're really pleased to see this happening. We just need to see a lot more of it. And we also need to see the impact of these changes at the top being transferred down to the remoter communities, to these much poorer, far-flung corners of the country, which have so far not felt the benefit of these changes.